Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 27, and I am Libya, your host. And this week we have three returning guests.
Hi, I'm Josh. I am a DVD author, and as of last night, karaoke king.
Hi, I'm Rebecca. I'm an actor and blurry person on television.
And hi, I'm Ronnie, calling from Las Vegas.
Yay! Yay! All right, and this week we have some news. Mostly the shows are all coming back, and I wanted to let everybody know about the premieres for this week that you have to look forward to. The first show that's coming back is, well, not coming back, it's new, sorry, is Outlaw, which will be on Wednesday on NBC, and Boardwalk Empire on Sunday on HBO. Oh, and wow. I've heard nothing but good stuff about Boardwalk Empire.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. And what I'm going to do is each podcast, I'll tell you what new is coming up that following week or coming up week. So you'll know how to set your DVRs. And I'll try to give my plug on what I'm going to be watching. Outlaw, I'm probably going to check out, mainly because it has Jimmy Smits, and I just came off of a high on West Wing.
That one, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'll probably check it out, and especially because he's supposed to be a Supreme Court Justice, or he starts off as Supreme Court Justice, and the case that he's doing, like, he realizes that this guy is going to be convicted, and he's really sure the guy didn't do it. So he quits his job as Supreme Court Justice, that's a lifetime appointment, and decides to be that guy's lawyer, which is, you know, fantastic.
Okay, that's kind of cool, but, like, you just watched West Wing, so you're on a Jimmy Smits kick. I just watched the Star Wars prequels, so my reaction to Jimmy Smits is entirely different.
Yes, I'm on the, isn't he a great actor? And you're going, oh my God.
Oh, God, not him.
No, but he can be good. And
I know he can.
Yeah, so, and I saw they had a little sneak peek on, I think I watched the NBC sneak peek thing, and it looked pretty good. So I'll at least check out the pilot.
All
right. And then, sad news for the few Hero fans. I'm saying few, because I don't know anybody else who's watching Heroes at the moment.
I was a fan.
Yeah,
not anymore.
Fan.
Yeah, me too. But NBC has officially completely canceled the show because there was word that they might do a movie to wrap it up.
Yeah.
And they said, nah.
Yeah.
We're not even going to bother.
It had ending enough for me.
Oh, you actually watched it to the end?
I'm a completist. I really stuck with it, even though I was like, oh, good God, why am I still watching this? So by the end, I'm like, oh, thank God it's over.
What'd you say?
Oh, my gosh. I feel the same way. It's like, wrap it up, you know, just let it go, you know? So I'm so it's...
And they wrapped it up good enough for me.
Okay.
I agree.
The other piece of news I have is, it's for all the people out in England, like the one or two people who are listening to this podcast from England. One of the shows, or there's a couple of shows that I wanted to pitch out there that have been pretty good. There's a show called Sherlock from the BBC, and it's written by Stephen Moffat, and it's only 3 episodes, but it's incredible.
Yeah.
I really think it's really good.
It's amazing.
And it's going to be on PBS in November, I believe.
No, it's October now. So I think they moved it up to either October 23rd or 26th.
Okay. And Merlin Season 3 just premiered on the BBC. And the show called Luther, starring Idris Elba. I think I'm saying his name correctly. There are 6 episodes. He plays a detective, and it has an interesting kind of twist to it, which makes it really fascinating for me. It's like the serial killer that he's chasing in the first episode kind of becomes almost kind of his side, not really his sidekick, but like she's kind of his stalker for a few episodes, but then they develop a strange kind of bizarre relationship where he bounces ideas off of her. Like he's like, so if you were trying to commit this murder, how would you do it? You know, so
sort of like White Collar.
So it's like White Collar, only much, much darker.
It's really twisted because she's not caught. Like, he couldn't catch her. In the first episode, she was so good that there was absolutely no evidence other than he knew she did it. And she was like, kind of grinned at him like, totally did it. You know, and you're never going to catch me.
Ooh.
But her thing is she craves the attention that he gives her. Because he's the only one who knows that she did the murder.
Uh-huh.
So when he moves on to other cases, she gets upset. she's kind of like, well, why aren't you paying attention to me? You need to pay attention to me.
Okay.
And
I like that it's a female serial killer.
Yeah.
You don't see those very often.
That's true. And she's really twisted, and her outlook on things, she's an interesting sociopath, because she's really, really smart, which most sociopaths are, mm-hmm. but her emotions are weird. Like, I never know what she's going to do, which is really interesting.
Okay.
But, yeah, by mid-season, he's going to her and like, okay, so if I have this situation, how would I catch this guy? And she's like, well, you should totally do this and this. So she's totally helping him catch other people.
Okay.
Because he's paying attention to her. And so that's fine. He only runs into problems when he stops paying attention to her. Then she has to do something like put knives at people's throats and like, she, like, seriously, she, like, she stalks his ex-wife, she goes after the new boyfriend, she does all kinds of crazy stuff when he stops paying attention to her.
You're not watching me, I have to murder now!
She's like a pet cat.
She is. Cats will do that. They will kill if you don't give them enough attention.
Yeah, and she's, but it's really fascinating. I was like, this is the most twisted thing I've ever seen, and I love it.
Cool.
So, right. Yeah, so check that out. It's called Luther. And one other thing, we just joined the Twitter
world.
Universe.
Yeah. We're really late, but we have a TV Campfire Twitter feed, so it's at TV Campfire. So go ahead and follow us. What we're going to do is we're going to add news during the week. So if there's any TV news or anything that we think is kind of cool or important during the week, we'll put it on the Twitter feed and also let you know kind of what the upcoming podcast will be about.
Yeah.
And just give you kind of a sneak peek. So I hope to see you guys on there.
It'll be good.
Livia, I have to say, you always push my envelope because I've been on Twitter for about a year, but I have never tweeted. And so yesterday I just signed up for TV Campfire, so shoot, now I'm going to have to start tweeting the news that I see.
Yay! Yay! That'll be great.
Libby is the cause of my first tweet.
What are you talking about? I've never been on Twitter either, so this is all brand new for me as well. And then we're going to
follow... It's a grand experiment. We'll see how it goes.
And we're going to follow it up with a Facebook page probably next week, so we'll keep you guys posted. You guys have any news?
There was the Dark Tower thing.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, so
recently
there...
it was announced that the Dark Tower is being adapted into this project of movie trilogy with TV series in between, all to be run by Ron Howard and friends.
Yeah, and...
I like Ron Howard. I don't know what all the ohms about.
Well, if you read The Dark Tower, you'll know why Ron Howard is not a good match for this.
It's a matter of Ron Howard meets Stephen King.
Yeah.
This is
very esoteric Stephen King, too.
Oh, okay. I don't know anything about the material, so...
I've read all the books, and I'm going to have to be honest, they're only good up until book 3. And book 4... goes completely in a different direction. You're like, what the hell? The entire book is a gigantic flashback. And
well, what? How about this? Tell me what the first book, or generally what the series is about, because I don't know.
Okay. The general storyline is this sort of unidentified post-apocalyptic world. There's this main character named Roland, who is a gunslinger, which is kind of like.
So is it like sort of Book of Eli, Western apocalypse?
With much less civilization.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
It starts off with him...
I mean, you don't have to give me the full thing.
Yeah, I know, but like the whole basic premise is he's chasing this mysterious man in black through tons and tons of wastelands and deserts and ruins to get to this thing called the Dark Tower, which is never really truly explained as to why this is significant.
Okay.
But it is. And
you just take it on faith? Okay.
Yeah, and like through his adventures, he ends up traveling back in time to our time, where he meets people who he takes back to his time. God knows why they go with him.
Yeah.
Join him on his quest.
Well, actually, that's actually sort of funny, because I went to go see Resident Evil.
Oh,
and,
really?
And
I'm sorry.
It's all right. But what's funny is Peter, who also does the podcast, was saying that sometimes, and he loves post-apocalyptic movies so much that sometimes he imagines that what if he actually live there, wouldn't it be great? I was like, you would survive 5 seconds.
Yeah.
There's no internet, there's no computer, there's no video games. You would just curl up into a ball and be sucking your thumb. Yeah. And he was like, well, I like to imagine it.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a very in-depth series, and, so, like...
Which explains the project premises.
Yeah, I mean, right? The only way you can adapt The Dark Tower is by doing a huge project like this.
I like the idea of doing movies plus TV kind of combined. That kind of seems cool.
Yeah, I like that too.
It could either go really well or it could go really badly.
Given the fact that it's Ron Howard directing and Akiva Goldsman writing the screenplay, I don't have a lot of faith.
And Ron Howard is so far saying, although this is off in the future because it'll be after the first movie, saying that he's going to direct the entire series too. Like himself.
He directed Arrested Development.
Well, I mean, in theory, that means it has one vision, which I think is good.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean.
But even other TV shows that are run by
Stephen King spent so much time working on these books that even they don't have his consistent vision.
Okay. Let's move on. Yeah. Any other news?
And this is sort of old news, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't give a shout out to Jim Parsons for his Emmy for the lead actor in the comedy. Yay!
Oh,
oh,
that's yes, he did win an Emmy. Yay! Yeah. I do love that show. I thought there was one more piece of news somebody had. Is that it?
Well, I mean, Caprica.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Caprica is, they moved the premiere date, so it's moving up to October 3rd, I thought? 5th. So we don't have to wait till January for it, which is great. And I just saw a teaser. And Caprica is one of those shows that I'm kind of excited that it's back because I'm really hoping the second half is way better than the first half.
I'm hoping for like some more momentum the second half, yes.
Because it needs it, because it's the only show on Sci-Fi that hasn't been renewed. So it really needs to do well in the second half for us to get a second season. And I think... Yeah. I've heard that some of the producers are working on other shows already because they haven't, filmed Caprica a while ago and they're waiting for this to air and they're waiting to hear if they're going to get picked up, and these guys aren't just sitting idly by.
They still need to make money, so they're moving on to other shows. I mean, Jane Espenson has already moved on to Torchwood.
Yeah, she's like, yay.
But that is a yay, yes.
All right. So let's move on to the shows. We've rambled about news longer than usual. And I'm just glad we had news this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first show we're going to talk about is, I think for the second or third week, we're going to talk about Mad Men.
Yay.
I need to hook you and Peter up in the same podcast because he loves Mad Men.
Oh, okay,
so good. Maybe for the Mad Men finale, I'll have both of you guys here so you guys actually can have a discussion.
That would rock, yeah.
All right, so go ahead. What did you think this week?
I loved this week's episode because it was mostly about, I always blank on their names, Peggy and, what's his name?
Peggy, just keep going.
Okay, it's about, like, it's really the two characters who have had a lot of tension going through this season.
Oh, I saw the preview, actually.
Yeah, they finally, like, really have it out, and, like, they pull this all-nighter working on some stupid ad for Samsonite.
Right.
While it's her birthday, and her boyfriend has invited her to a romantic dinner, which he was going to surprise her by saying that by bringing her entire family there. So, like, there's, like, this whole bit where she's calling them on the phone, and, like, this is the 60s, so... Like, the waiter has to bring a phone to your table. and so, like, this happens, like, 5 times, and the waiter's clearly getting pissed off at the boyfriend. And he's like, yes, I'm that important.
I actually saw the fight where she's like, don't give me any appreciation for what I do. He's like, I give you a paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And it's one of those arguments where it's like, okay, it makes logical sense, but it's... jerky.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's clear that, like, he doesn't really
appreciate her.
He appreciates her, but in his way, which is somewhat condescending.
But isn't it more he's got this pressure because he started a new company And he's got all that pressure of trying to beat the old company versus the young guys.
There's that, but I mean, there's also more going on with, like, he just got divorced and his wife utterly hates him, and for good reason.
I was about to say, and he slept with how many women?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's more than that. Like, she seemed to be okay with him sleeping with the other woman when she found out he was lying about his entire life. That's when she was like, get out.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
I think, I guess, in the 40s or 50s, you kind of, well, it's 50s.
It's early 60s. Yeah.
Well, I guess wives at that point kind of anticipate that their husband's going to cheat, so yeah. That's kind of understood.
Yeah, but his wife was messed in the head already.
Right.
Like, I have a love-hate relationship with her character.
Oh, I hate her. Yeah. Because she's actually why I'm no longer watching Mad Men.
I'm definitely more in the hating part, especially now, because just the way she treats her daughter just makes me want to punch her in the face.
That I can see. So this season, how do you think this season's going compared to last season?
This season is excellent. I'm loving it just for, like, the new scenario. They're getting all these new clients, and they're expanding, like, everything they're doing. Like, there was a great episode a couple weeks ago with a Japanese client with Honda, which was truly fascinating.
Oh, okay.
Like, because, like, they're trying to do this business deal with these Japanese guys, and it's, like, very traditional Japanese businessmen. And the one other main guy, Sterling, he's a World War II veteran.
Oh.
And he freaking hates the Japanese. So, like, they're in the middle of this business meeting, and they're, like, being very traditional, very proper, obeying all the rules and etiquette, and Sterling just comes barging in and goes, screw all you guys! You bombed us!
Well, they bombed back.
Yeah, so, but apparently that doesn't count to him.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's the guy you keep out of the meeting.
Yeah, they were trying to keep him out of the meeting. They were, like, trying to distract him and keep him away, and he found out about it and then just burst in and, like, totally ruined everything.
And that's when you get fired.
But he runs the company.
Oh.
He's a partner.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so wrapping up?
Well, I love this show. I think everybody should watch it. And this season is definitely, like, the best since the first season.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. I did like the first season. Actually, yeah. What kicked me off of it was the second season.
Yeah.
I started watching second season. It was all about the wife and her horseback riding. And I was like,
yeah, the second season was pretty,
yeah. All right, so the next show we're going to talk about is The Closer.
And I remembered.
All right, okay. And Rebecca has remembered the plot. We were struggling. Go ahead. Okay.
So it was the one with the girl who was doing the video podcast about being the single woman, and she wanted to start dating again.
Oh, single ladies. Yes.
And so she started doing internet dating, and she met this guy that was a sex addict, and they...
Right, but then that was the whole...
He was the red herring.
Yeah, the red herring, because they're like, oh, internet dating will kill you. And so that he was the guy that, but apparently, no, your apartment manager will kill you.
Yes.
Because basically she went out on a date with this guy. She hadn't been on a date in whatever, how many, like a year or two, because guys were intimidated by her podcast. Mm-hmm. So she finally goes on a date with this guy, and his car gets all scratched up, and he's like, what the heck is going on? He thinks she did it. But it's really, actually the wife scratched the car, right?
No, the building manager did, because he did it off the camera.
Right, okay, they thought it was the wife. That was the other red herring.
Right.
Okay. But what it was the building manager had been watching her through a peephole in her second bedroom.
Oh, good
watching
God.
Her dress and undress and whatever. So he watched her have sex with this guy, and then was, he got caught. It wasn't that he got mad, was that he
usually leaves when she takes a shower. And she didn't take a shower. She fell asleep or something like that. And so he was trying to leave and she woke up. And
then confrontation.
Oh, okay.
Because she's like, what are you doing in my apartment? I got nothing. It's like midnight. He's got nothing. He's got no reason to be in her apartment. So, yeah, he accidentally, I put that in parentheses.
Yeah.
He accidentally killed her because he was trying to keep her quiet because she was screaming and he ended up suffocating her.
He pushed her against the wall. She hit her head.
But then he suffocated her.
He suffocated her because he carried her to her
bed. Ultimately, the cause of death was suffocation.
Yeah.
Therefore, he suffocated her. I was going to the end.
Well, because that's how she figured it out, because the pillow he used was the pillow that he'd put in the closet to sit on or something like that.
No, it was a pillow that was, it was not in her bedroom in all the videos, so, and it was from the closet, right.
This is so unbelievably creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was.
He had drilled the hole because she had supposedly been having, like, internet problems or something, so he made the hole so that she could run her cables through the closet.
Yeah, but he made it big. He made it bigger than necessary.
So that he could watch
He could
her
look
through
her through that, through that hole.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
But yeah, it was, and she was the only one having internet problems because he wanted to be able to install that for her. So he, so it's probably my building manager causing my internet problems today.
Thank you.
But,
beware building managers.
but the main thing that was going on is the ongoing storyline with Brenda being up for chief of police. The conflict last week was that her boss wasn't on the short list. Her boss is the guy who hired her. She'd had an affair with him, so there's all the personal relationship. And he assumed the next spot up for him is chief of police. That's the only place he could advance to. Mm-hmm. And so he had been moving his whole career to that. And then they put out the short list with just like five names on it, and he wasn't on it.
Oh.
And she was.
Ooh.
And so that
Double
caused...
ouch.
Yeah, so that caused a little bit of friction last week. And so this week... he's kind of calmed down and he's gotten over it, but now he's all go Brenda. He's like, oh, he's her, because he's like, if anybody has to be my boss, I would rather it be you.
Mm-hmm. Because, well, the other thing is because everybody knew that he'd thrown his hat in for chief, so whoever would take over the job, he could be out because what happens when you get passed over for promotion?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so yeah, so it's but he knows that she's not going to fire him because they're you know, they're friends.
Right.
So he's all like, go Brenda.
Well,
but
the other thing is that her husband got appointed as the FBI liaison because everybody figured she's in line to be the next chief, so they might as well have the FBI liaison be somebody
that she knows, which is interesting. That actually, the week before, what was pretty cool was she was doing an interrogation and one of the other cops or whatever was like totally going off on her. He said, can you believe this woman? I think she needs to get laid or something. And her husband looks over at her because the guy doesn't know that that's her husband. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I don't think that's the problem. He's like, I don't think that's the issue, which was great.
When she used him to, was it this week? When she used him to do the interrogation because it wasn't a crime to lie to her, but it was a crime
to lie to him?
FBI.
Yeah, because the guy, like, she basically set this guy, it was this week's.
Yeah.
She basically set this guy up to lie, knowing that he was basically like, oh, your girlfriend's in the next room. Did you have an affair with this other woman? And he's like, no. And they had evidence showing that he did. Mm-hmm. And he was like, lying to the cops isn't a crime. She goes, yeah, it's not. But lying to the FBI is, you're under arrest. And he was like, whoa. Because it was so funny because the FBI, her husband, had no idea why he was asking these questions. He was
she gave him a page of questions.
And she
had him ask first. And he's like, because we're having technical difficulties, so I need you to answer these questions. So he asked her list of questions. And the guy was like, no. And then Brenda was like, no, I have some questions. And she asked the same exact questions. And the guy was like, no. And then she was like, yeah, but we know it's true. And she produced all the pictures and everything. And he's like, well, it's not a crime to lie to you. And she's like, too bad. FBI.
But the look,
interesting sucker punch.
Right. Well, what's great about it is the look on Fritz's face when he's asking these questions, because he has no idea why he's asking these questions.
Uh-huh.
So he's just like, have you ever slept with someone in the shower? Like, it was like, he was like, what? What am I asking? You know? And I really do like the relationship. At first, in like first season, I didn't like the relationship, but now I totally love it. Like, their relationship is so, like, I don't even understand why he's with her. I really don't. But what was good is, oh, Mary McDonnell from Battlestar Galactica is the female, what is her position?
She's the chief of the internal affairs.
Yeah, she's chief of internal affairs, and she's all about Brenda becoming chief of police because she wants a woman to become the first chief of police of LA, and so she's been pushing Brenda, like, come on, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And Brenda's like, I really don't want it. And Mary McDonald just went off on her. Yeah. She was like, how could you be like this? And she's just totally just, like, all the little girls at home that have no one to look up to, and she's like, it's not about you and what you want. you know. So it was
she was giving her like fashion tips.
Oh, that was so great.
You can't use that purse. She was like, a small purse.
She was like, yes, the purse works if you're trying to convince the people you're interrogating that you're not very bright. She's like, that purse works for that.
Now, is Mary McDonald a regular, or
She's recurring. She okay. basically is Brenda's arch rival, which is great because they get assigned to cases together, and they're both brilliant, and they both have the same egos. So they both like to run over people. Mm-hmm. And having them work together means they're trying to run over each other, which is fantastic television. So yeah, I like it on there. So yeah, the closer was pretty good this week. I thought thumbs up.
Yeah.
And the finale is next week.
This upcoming week.
The finale is next week, right. And they showed the preview, and apparently there's something exciting happened. They just kept showing everyone's face looking surprised.
I've been trying to see, because they have the audio of the gunshots and whatever, and they can't shoot someone again on the finale. They already did that, so...
That's true. Unless the person actually dies.
True.
Like, they've done the, we shot somebody and we're taking them in the ambulance, and then when he comes back, they're fine. So, we've done that.
And the fact that it was Sanchez and his, like, brother had just died, and it was...
That was actually really good.
Yeah, that was a great episode, but...
Yeah, we can't do that.
Kill him because everything else just happened to him, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, we'll see.
Alright, and White Collar Head, it's mid-season finale. Yeah. Everyone, this is the season of mid-season finales.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't really like splitting up seasons, but I don't think USA is asking my opinion.
USA has done it forever, so...
Yeah.
Well, no, originally they would just show the 13 episodes and be done. True. Now they shoot like 20 and then they give us like 10 and 10 or something. Or they shoot 14 and they give us 7 and 7.
Something
like that.
Yeah.
So...
They've been talking with sci-fi, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think USA was doing it first.
I think USA was doing it first, and then whatever. Anyway, White Collar mid-season finale was a good mystery. Neil was a little bit out of character just because he was just so angry in this episode. Yeah. But, I mean, they gave it premise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Full disclosure here, I am not caught up on White Collar. I've watched maybe the first two episodes and then this episode.
Way to go. And so you have no idea.
So you don't even know who Mozzie is.
No, I know who Mozzie is.
but you don't know who Kate is, really.
I know who Kate is. I have obviously not gotten to the part where she died.
Why he's angsting about it?
Why he's all emo over this.
He's like, I have to kill you. And then that's the thing, is he's not very violent, so it seemed really weird.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, I mean, the couple episodes I've seen, like, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would do what he did.
Right.
Well, the other thing is, they've alluded to the fact that there was more fallout to what happened to Kate than what we saw.
Yeah.
Like, because there was a season break, and I guess we didn't get to see all the crazy angst and everything, and he'd sort of gotten over it a little bit. And then now we're back to, he's finally caught up to Fowler, so it's all back again.
Mm-hmm. Well, my question is...
But then, like, it ends up Fowler is just...
Yeah, and that's my thing
cog
is...
cog in the machine.
Do you believe... Because you haven't seen the Fowler episodes, we have. In the Fowler episodes, he came off as, like, this complete jerk and a bad guy. Mm-hmm. So, it seems like a really weird reversal to be like, oh, I was just doing it because I was blackmailed.
Well, I was noticing the fact that the way they've made it look now is that Fowler was sort of burned like Michael. Because some person decided to set this thing up to have Fowler do this crazy thing with the music box.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't Fowler... He seemed way more evil when we were seeing him for the first time than a guy that's being blackmailed into doing... Because I would think if you're being blackmailed to do something, you're not going to be... super evil about it. You're just gonna do what you have to do,
I guess.
But it just, I mean, when you get to those episodes, he really was like a real jerk, and he was shooting people just randomly.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed way more evil in the recap at the start of the episode than he was at the end of this episode.
Exactly my point, and that's what I feel like was a little bit of a retcon as far as his character goes. So I'm not sure that worked for me. But I do, you know, I do like the idea.
Unless the whole blackmail thing is a red herring.
I don't think that's what they're doing, but yeah, I could see that too. But I do like the idea of it being somebody bigger, that there's some other bigger thing, and
yeah.
and somebody apparently, who do we know who went around killing everybody who figured out the code? Oh, that guy from...
Well, it's Paul Blackthorne. It's
right.
Harry Dresden.
Right, I was like, the Dresden guy.
Yeah.
Right, but I can't remember.
Like, he's been playing a lot of heavies lately. Like, he played an arms dealer in Leverage, too.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. End of season two.
Oh, okay.
The one main thing I remember him from is when he was the guy with leprosy on Monk. Which was one of my favorite episodes ever.
But that whole conspiracy thing, the big thing is the relationship between Neil and Peter is still strong, even though they were kind of betraying each other a little bit back and forth. And he put himself on a short leash, definitely. But so that was the main thing. That's really what I care about in this show. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Mozzie.
I'm gonna cry over
Mozzie, who takes the bullet at the end.
Yeah, okay. Well, your opinion. Is Mozzie actually dead?
I don't know yet.
I seriously doubt it.
Until January.
I seriously doubt that Mozzie's dead because he is the comic relief of the show.
Yeah, and he's like one of my favorite characters, even for like the little bit that I've seen.
Yeah, you haven't even seen my favorite Mozzie episode yet.
And like. Yeah. My one little bit of shenanigans, and this is just because I am really anal when it comes to Japanese, because I know it. When he goes into the shop and he's talking to the Japanese owner, like they do a really good job of like proper Japanese and all that stuff. But when he greets the guy, the shop owner greets him by saying "moshi moshi," which is how you answer the phone. I was like, how could they miss that? I mean, unless this is a character who has been in it before and this is just like his quirk.
No, we've never seen him before.
Okay.
So that is his quirk. And now you won't see him ever again.
Yes, okay, because now he's dead.
Exactly.
No, I've been going around saying, Tuesday has no phone, thanks to Mozzie. His safe house, Tuesday. And they were like, we need a phone. He's like, Tuesday has no phone.
Oh, right. Right, I was like, oh yeah, his safe houses have days of the week. They're named after days of the week.
Okay.
So that's what she's referring to.
Okay.
So, because when he took him somewhere, he's like, this is Thursday. And they're like, what? Yes, this is my Thursday hideout. And basically, he lives in different places based on the day of the week,
Mozzie would be that kind of person.
But the day didn't match up to the actual day. Name of the...
Right, so he confuses himself.
Because I'm usually here on Wednesday.
Yeah, so he goes to Tuesday on Wednesday, and he goes to Thursday. Like, I was like, why?
God, that would make my head explode.
I was like, why are you encoding it for yourself? You're the only one who knows about your hideouts. It makes no sense. But
this is Mozzie.
Yes.
We love him.
Anyway, all right, so.
Okay. Well, okay, my one question, this is just because I'm not caught up. What is the whole deal with the music box?
That's the season.
I mean, is it like a Rambaldi thing?
Yeah, it's
like...
kind of like that in that there's somebody, whoever created the music box way back when, encoded some sort of secret message that does something that we have no idea what it does.
Okay, I wasn't sure if like we knew what it was leading to, or if we're just following the trail and hoping it leads to like gold.
Well, I don't think anything leads to gold, but they think it leads to some sort of information, but we don't know what that information is.
Okay.
But whatever the information is, the two super top secret guys are willing to kill a lot of people to get to it.
Yeah.
And the only reason we, as show watchers, started caring about it is because... Or, like, the only reason the FBI started caring about it is because Neil cared about it because whoever had Kate cared about it.
Right.
So it kind of
that
was
much
just,
I
like,
got.
Domino effect of, yeah. like... needed to get Kate, so Neil needs it, so the FBI is watching Neil, so... Yeah.
And now it's kind of like he wants to find out what it means to figure out who the heck killed Kate in the first place. He figures if he can figure out what information's in the music box, then he can figure out why they killed Kate.
Ah, okay.
So that's where it is now.
Okay.
All right, so let's move on to Warehouse 13. Who are the Warehouse 13 watchers?
I am the Warehouse 13 watcher. Ronnie, you said you watched it, but... not this week?
I missed this week. My DVR didn't get it for me.
Oh, bummer. This was a really good one. This was where they brought in H.G. Wells' Time Machine.
Oh.
And it's not the same kind of time machine. Like, she actually built a time machine, but what it does is it's more like Quantum Leap, where you jump into the body of somebody in the past, and it only works for... 22 hours and 19 minutes.
So good luck with changing the future in that amount of time.
Well, that's the thing. Like, she built it because she wanted to stop these people from murdering her daughter.
Right.
And it, like, it was, it's like this really cool predestination thing where, like, when she saw the police report, they were saying that the housekeeper was fighting the invaders off with a fighting style that she knew, but she knew that the housekeeper didn't know. So, like, this told her that at some point she's going to build this time machine that's going to go back and that's going to, like, make her jump into the housekeeper to try to protect her daughter, but she was still unable to protect her daughter.
Oh.
And so, like, this one was, Micah and, what's the guy's name?
Pete.
Pete and Micah, they go back to help solve this case from 1961. And it was from this one woman who was a former agent who we've seen before, but I can't remember her name. Like, she was in one other episode. And she was the one who married another warehouse agent and then ended up, he ended up dying.
Oh, I remember that episode. I can't think of her name.
Yeah. So this is her. She's coming back, and it's later revealed that she's got cancer and she's dying anyway. But basically the way she and her husband met all had to do with this case and with Pete and Micah jumping into them back in 1961. And it was really fun. It was really touching. I don't want to, like, reveal too much about it, but it was a cool take on what would have otherwise been some very generic sci-fi concepts.
Right. Time travel is done, I think, on every sci-fi show.
Yeah. And I mean, they do, like, unique stuff with it. Like, they had a unique take with the time travel this week. They had a really unique take with the body switching, I think, either last week or 2 weeks ago.
Right. So you're saying thumbs up.
I'm saying thumbs up. Like, this one, the ending almost made me cry.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And and also, HG had probably one of the most chilling lines in the entire series, where she's talking to Claudia about her daughter getting killed. And Claudia says, well, that's probably the worst pain anybody can go through. And HG just stops and she's like, no. When I track down the guys who killed her, that's the worst pain anybody can go through. I was like, oh, crap.
That's pretty good.
You just gave me the chills through the internet.
I know, right? Like, that was pretty awesome. And you know what? I like HG. I like what they're doing with her character. Like, I was really scared that it was just going to be, like, generic and stupid, but they're actually doing some pretty interesting and unique stuff with her.
All right.
They really are, and they keep bringing her back, you know what I mean? And just the whole thing of her being a woman and the whole thing that they've done with her.
Well, I mean, she's been reinstated now. She's an agent again.
That's right, huh?
Yeah. So now she's a member of the team now.
All right. I want to keep on going. Let's move on to the mid-season finale of Psych. Are we catching a theme?
Yes.
USA mid-season finales.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this week on Psych, they brought back
Mr. Kavanaugh.
Yes.
Yes.
That man is so pretty.
Declan.
I love him.
I'm sorry. I get distracted by him.
I am fascinated by his perma mascara.
Well, that's the thing. The trips me out. I was like, why are his eyes so gorgeous? I don't know.
There's some pigmentation with his eyelids that causes it to look like he's constantly wearing mascara.
Yes, but it's pretty, so all right.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. He doesn't have anything permanent, some permanent thing that makes him look ugly. He has a permanent thing that makes him look better looking, so that works for me.
Well, I mean, I'm a guy, so I don't see that, but I like him.
But I liked what the storyline was. The spy thing was kind of mediocre. It wasn't great.
I was amused by it just because it was Franca, however the hell you pronounce her last name, playing the spy.
Right.
And they kept making references to, this is a real life Bourne movie. Yeah. And she was in the Bourne movies.
Oh, I totally missed those references.
That I found very amusing.
And I thought it was funny. Actually, USA showed a Bourne movie just before the episode, although it was the wrong one because she wasn't in it.
Oh, okay. Well, she's only really in one.
Yeah, she's in two of them, but well, know, she's only she, really in
she's
one.
She's technically in Bourne Supremacy, but she dies pretty early on.
Yeah, like instantaneously.
Yeah. Which broke my heart so much.
But in the episode, I mean, as far as the spy working using Sean and Gus's abilities, I didn't think that this episode really utilized them very well.
Yeah.
No. I think they have been underutilized in the last few episodes. And I like that Henry finally called Sean on the fact that
he's been lazy.
Weak. Yeah. But
yeah, yeah. And I thought that so this week's episode, the case, like I said, I thought was kind of mediocre and okay. Because I think he solves it because he notices that this guy's wearing two watches. I could notice someone's wearing two watches.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't that big of a deal.
I actually missed, like, how he got the last connection.
He didn't.
Oh, okay.
That was the thing. That was the joke. He was like, oh, I found such and such really quickly. Of course I can find you. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do it.
Yeah.
The FBI guy or whatever did.
Yeah, Tom Fong. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but the main thing, of course, is actually the Sean and Juliet relationship. Mm-hmm. That's actually the big thing, and it was huge.
That was pretty major, yeah.
Yeah.
So, even from somebody who hasn't watched the show regularly, I was like, wow, that's pretty major.
Yeah. Oh, and then that kiss at the end. Oh, man. That's...
Every girl in the room.
I was like, oh,
and
no.
You see, for this, I feel the same way I did with Mozzie getting shot. I'm like, this is significant, but I'm not seeing how because I haven't watched everything yet.
Well, I mean, it's just the whole... They've been circling around each other for a really long time, and part of it is Sean has not made himself clear about how he feels about Juliet to her. Like,
except she was about to.
So this is the first kiss?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, is it the first? I don't know if it's the first.
Unless it's the first one that he hasn't done just randomly.
Because basically...
But I think it is the first.
So this is the first one she initiated?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Because basically, he's blown off his feelings for her as a joke.
Okay.
So every time he almost says something to her, he turns it into a joke. And she's kind of almost asked him straight up how he feels about her. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, no, it's totally fine, blah, blah, blah. And then she, last week's episode, he was going to ask her out. Mm-hmm. But that other guy asked her out first.
Declan
asked her out first. And so when he asked her out, she was like, yeah, Declan just asked me out. And then she was like, look. She comes back to him later. She's like, I've known you for way longer. If you want to ask me out, I'll go out with you and turn him down because I just met this guy. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, no, it's fine. Instead of saying, yes, I would like you to do
That would be one of those. Be like, dude, what are you doing?
It was a wedding date, so he played it off. He's like, oh, I'll just get someone else.
Yeah. And So she's been getting mixed signals from him. He's been all over. So she doesn't really know.
Mixed signals, really? No?
From the child? What?
Right. So she has no real clue how he feels about her until she actually eavesdrops on his conversation accidentally.
Well, because he was about to tell her. Because he had done the whole thing where he'd proved that Declan was lying. And he was going to tell her. And then Declan came out and was like, no, I've been lying all this time. And
stole his line.
Yeah, stole everything from him. Because he was going to tell her the whole truth about how he's not really psychic. And
he opened
his mouth and Declan started talking.
So that's the whole thing with Declan this week being like, wow, telling the truth is fun.
Yeah. Right. Because Sean was going to do it. Mm-hmm.
Right, but the whole thing with Declan is that, you know, I mean, back from, you know, the last episode where his dad's, you know, as a kid, you know, because when they're as kids, it sets up the arc or whatever is happening.
What are you talking about?
The flashback to little Sean, I guess.
Which flash? They flashback every week. Which flashback are we referring to?
But the one last week, not this week, because that's the one that set up the conflict with him and Declan.
Which one was it? Be specific.
And it was the one where he started to be Gus at basketball.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And his dad came in and, you know, and then just shot it out of the park or whatever.
Right, because his dad was like, yeah, you need to face somebody who's actually competition.
Yes. Right, and so it took Declan to get him to really get to this place with Juliet, you know?
Right, that's true. because he actually has competition. But it's not like he went to Juliet and actually told her. She accidentally overheard what he, you know, what he was thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She has to know at this point, knowing Sean for all these years, that he's like that.
Like my,
but
my,
having my it spelled one, out is totally question different.
Is Sean really so stupid that he would leave the wire on like that, or did he maybe do that intentionally?
Well, no, he didn't do that intentionally. He would have never. He would have never said that to her intentionally.
Okay.
I'm assuming he figured she left the van with everybody else to go after.
Okay.
Right.
Didn't know that she was in there.
Right, and so he was a bit confused about the kiss. Like,
why?
He has no idea why she kissed him like that. Because he's like, I didn't do anything or say anything, and you're still with Declan. What? What does this mean? So, yeah.
So now he's the one getting mixed signals.
Yes. Yes, the signals are mixed all over the place, and they're about to go on a 2-week vacation together.
Yeah.
Yeah, burn.
Yeah.
And so. I feel bad for Juliet, too, because... she's got Declan, who's pretty and a millionaire, who really likes her.
Mm-hmm. Bought a hotel for her.
Right. So, I don't know. What do you do? Because it's not like she doesn't like Declan. She totally likes him.
Yeah. I mean, he's a likable guy.
Right. But the thing is, for Sean, she's known him for, what, 5 years at this point?
Mm-hmm.
And she's liked him pretty much the whole time. So she has probably stronger feelings for Sean. But Sean also has the maturity of a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Mm.
All right.
So, okay, my one other observation of this episode, and this may be just me. When did C. Thomas Howell start looking really evil?
Was that... He wasn't in this... Oh, yeah, yes, he was. He was the
guy.
I actually have no information on that.
I just saw him. I was like, that's C. Thomas Howell, and he looks like a serial killer. What the hell happened here?
It's the gray hair. I don't know.
No, he's got like this scowl too. I'm like, what happened? You were Soul Man.
I'm sure he can still look happy when he wants to.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And the one person I did notice was John Grise, who I love. So I was very happy when he showed up as the crazy reclusive.
Yes.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
All right. This is going to be the one new show that we haven't talked about yet, which is the premiere of the new Nikita. And I already know that everyone's going to have a varied opinion based on whether you have or have not watched the movies, the other TV show, whatever. So I'm going to let you guys talk first real quick. Keep it brief. Tell me what you... go ahead, Ronnie. You haven't talked in a second. Tell us what you think about the new Nikita.
And actually, I really enjoyed the new Nikita. I actually got to see it at Comic-Con, so I got to see it a second time. Now, again, I'm coming from not seeing either of the movies and probably seeing about half of the TV series, you know, off and on. And so, but I really enjoyed, you know, where they're taking the story and how now she has a mole inside the, what is it, not the district, the...
Division.
Yes.
Okay, so a thumbs up from you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've only ever seen the second movie.
Point of No Return,
yeah. So that's my only other Nikita...
Which is the bad
influence,
one.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was better.
Okay.
This was better than that. But I was looking at more just as a spy show in general, and I didn't feel like as a spy show this was really breaking any new ground. I mean, it was good, it was engaging, I liked the characters, I thought the twist at the end with the girl being her person inside was nice, and Maggie Q is very, very, very hot. So that was very easy for me to watch. I'm giving it a thumbs up just because it was able to keep my attention. I'm hoping that it will do something more as time goes on.
Okay.
But yeah, I liked it. So yeah, thumbs up.
I have seen all of the incarnations of Nikita. And I'm giving it a tentative thumbs up. I am waiting to see where it goes. The twist at the end, I'm not sure if I'd read that somewhere or if it was just really obvious to me, but I kind of knew it was coming the whole episode. And the other thing that's kind of confusing to me that I noticed when they first released the preview a couple months ago was, I'm trying to figure out why they're combining different names of people from the series and the movies.
Right.
With, like, there's Amanda, but there's Michael and there's Burkhoff, and I don't know.
I was like, where's Madeline? Yeah.
Why are we referencing the show if we're not even in that universe at all? Because there's no way we could be with the way
that
show.
Yeah, because Burkhoff was from the show.
Burkhoff was only from the show, so was Michael.
Because, Michael was from the movies.
Well, the character of Michael was Bob in both movies.
Oh, his name was Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought, I watched the TV show more, but go ahead.
Yeah, oh, the TV show was longer. But I don't know why, what, why?
Why they're mixing, I was confused by the names too.
But yeah, I mean, I will keep watching just to see at least a few more episodes to see where it goes.
I am a big fan of the movie, the French movie, and a big fan of the TV show from USA with Peter Wilson. I own all 5 seasons. I did not like this version of Nikita. Mainly, I liked Maggie Q. I thought she did a decent job of Nikita. I was like, fine, I buy her as Nikita. I like that they're taking it to where it's past the point where she's already done everything we've seen in the TV show. Except that, of course, it doesn't match up to the end of the show at all. But, okay, whatever. So it's like you're supposed to assume it's from the movie, but not. Yeah. And so you're like, all right, so we're past all that point. So she escaped from Division, and she's running on her own. I buy her as Nikita because of all her fighting ability. What I thought was weird was in that bikini scene where she's going killing that guy. It was a dream sequence, right?
Yeah.
She looked very uncomfortable in that bikini. She looked like, I hate wearing this. I don't want to walk across this pool. Why are you making me do this? And I just felt that was odd. But then when they had...
I mean, she did say that she didn't want to walk through the pool.
Well, no. I'm just talking about her walking in the heels.
Yeah.
Looked uncomfortable. It's not like, oh, I don't want to come over here. It was more, I'm very uncomfortable wearing this.
Unless she was playing the dream sequence aspect of it.
I doubt it. I don't believe that. But basically, she looked fine when she was at the dinner party in the nice dress. She was totally fine.
Yeah.
But it just, that felt very uncomfortable. But my main beef with the whole show is Michael.
Yeah.
He sucks a lot.
Okay.
Mainly because that actor, I don't know what he's trying. I don't know what he's trying to convey for Michael's character.
Yeah.
He's sort of serious. He's sort of mean, but he's sort of not because he kind of likes Nikita because apparently they had a relationship before.
Because he was in the TV show that didn't exist in the
right.
Universe.
It's just, yeah. The actor is not playing. The version of Michael I have in my head,
he's Roy Dupuis.
Yeah, that guy's not it. Roy Dupuis was a fantastic actor. Okay. This dude is like this big. He's tiny. I'm making a little tiny finger for you people out there.
I forgot something else I meant to say.
But he just sucks. I think that Burkhoff is fine. I think the head of Division guy's all right. I mean, they didn't stand out, but they didn't bother me. I was like, okay, Burkhoff's
just,
okay.
It sort of bothered me just the fact that Burkhoff, like...
Is named Burkhoff?
He's Burkhoff, yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, he's Burkhoff, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't mind the guy that's head, because Xander Berkeley's a good actor, so he can do no wrong. I'm fine with him. I'm fine with Maggie Q, but man, Mike... And I'm actually fine with the new woman who's... What is her name? Alex.
Alex, yeah.
I'm fine with Alex. She's got the fresh face and she's cool.
And yeah, I like
Clark
Alex.
Is
yeah.
Amanda.
But Libya, I was going to say, how would you say the Michael from the TV series compare? Because his name is Shane West. I forgot. He was in this other series that I watched him on as a teenager. But how do you compare the Michael, the two TV series Michael?
That's what I'm comparing. That was my problem. Roy Dupuis from the original. The TV series on USA, he was a fantastic actor. He was really good. He could convey emotions without speaking. He was one of those actors who was stoic and rarely spoke, and so everything you had to read off of his face.
All that stuff with his son.
It's like all that angst was just, he was incredible. And this guy, there's nothing. He's just like a freaking blank slate. And he's just blank. He's just, I feel like he's one of those really cheap WB actors.
He's from the CWWB.
Yeah, and I didn't actually know that, but I'm just saying he's one of those actors that I feel like was in the circle of WB actors who is up for the next role, and they're like, okay, we got one more role, you're the next guy in line, okay, you're gonna be Michael on this show, Nikita, go. It wasn't like, oh, you could be great in this part. Yeah. It's like he doesn't fit.
And I think he's because he's pretty. And
he's not really that pretty. Not really.
But he has a following from whatever he was on.
Well, he might have a following, but oh my god, he's not good. And he's actually my problem with the show right now. I don't mind anything else that's going on. Mm-hmm. I mind him.
I forgot to mention, I did catch a time discrepancy that was really odd.
When she was
talking to her foster father or whatever, and she said something about how she had just turned 18, but she's supposed to be 27, and she escaped 6 years ago.
Oh.
Well, no, she was on the street. We don't know how long she was on the street.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought they said that she had killed the guy just after she turned 18, and that's why they were able to
execute
her.
Right. So then she was at division for 6 years?
Yes.
Well, that would make... Well, how long... Well, wait.
And then she introduced herself as 27.
Wait. Well, you don't know how long she's been... How long has she escaped from division? There's those years.
Yeah.
No, I thought she said she was there for 3 years and then she escaped.
No, I think she was there.
She was there for 6 years.
Yeah. And then we don't know
then
how long
she escaped. And she was off the grid for however long. Yeah.
All right, so maybe that works. But I didn't also notice that it was interesting the way they've decided to take the moral issue of she doesn't know whether or not she killed someone, whereas on the USA show they made her falsely accused because they thought that the people wouldn't watch a TV show with someone who had actually killed someone.
Except the movie, she actually does kill the person.
Her do it.
Right.
So you know that it wasn't like...
I thought that was a cop-out for the TV series. I was actually annoyed by that. I was like, she killed a guy. Deal with it. Done. Just because you kill a guy because you're in a drug haze doesn't make you an assassin.
Right.
You know, so I thought that was a big enough difference that I didn't have a problem with it.
Right.
Though it was funny is I have a friend who watched Nikita and was confused and thought that the guy that was her boyfriend was actually her old handler that they killed. And I was like, no, he was her cover. And I had to explain that, but I don't know.
Oh, I got that too.
Yeah, that I got.
All right, cool. I didn't know if there was any confusion with that.
No, they were pretty specific when they said you don't fall in love with your cover.
I thought so too, but the other person I talked to was like,
Although we all here have seen in some incarnation something else. So... Maybe not, but that doesn't mean anything to me.
I don't know. And also, I knew Michael.
I didn't notice that because I recognized it from what I had seen before. I was like, okay, they just said he was her cover.
Right. All right. So,
so it was clear.
So mostly mediocre to thumbs up is what we're saying the group has said.
If something else comes on at the same time, I don't know that I will keep going, but we'll see.
I'm going to give it a few episodes just to see if it... goes anywhere.
I have to say, if there is a conflict, it will be the first thing that gets dropped. But I will, without a conflict, so next week, this upcoming week, there shouldn't be a conflict. So I'll probably watch it again this week, and hopefully it gets better.
Yeah.
I don't really hold out hope for Michael getting better.
No.
But hopefully the other stuff compensates for that. For me, at least. Okay. Alright, so, go ahead.
I'll keep watching it for now.
Okay. All right, a couple weeks ago, I didn't get to talk about the mid-season finale of Burn Notice because we actually didn't have anybody on the podcast who had seen it. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to talk about it by myself, which would have been boring.
Well, I watched it so that I have something to talk about, even though I don't know what was happening.
I like your perspective of this podcast is fantastic. You're just like, I know what we're going to talk about, so I'll just watch it all.
Yeah. That way I'm not sitting in a corner going... just wait till my show comes around. I'm like, nope, I'll watch it. I won't know what's going on, but I'll watch it.
So what'd you think? You said you were ready to talk about this one, right?
Well, any of them. I mean, I was up for White Collar, but Burn Notice? Interesting cliffhanger there.
That's all you're going to say? Interesting cliffhanger?
No, the whole thing with Jesse and... shooting him and him knowing that
why he shot him?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, he was very understanding about a guy shooting him through the chest. He's like, I know sometimes, in order to shoot the guy behind you, you have to shoot
through the person.
Right. It's totally cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
I just love his narration. I love how his narration stays nonchalant no matter what.
Whatever's going on. Uh-huh. I did.
It's like, when you're sitting on a nuclear bomb, make sure to wear rubber pants or something like that.
I do have to say the case in this one was, you know, I mean, wasn't very interesting. It was more about Jesse and what happened at the end.
Right.
You know, the whole kidnapping thing, they could have left out, you know?
Well, I mean, I feel like they feel a little obligated to have their story of the week. Mm-hmm. You know, they got to have the little episode of the week where he solves something pretty simple, yet he's still dealing with something big. Oh, what I really like is the mom and how she tried to guilt trip Jesse as far as... You know, don't kill my son. You know, I really like it if you not kill him, at least while he's trying to save some kid.
Yeah, that's the part I love. She's like, you just wait a couple of days. He's saving a child. This total, absolute evil bastard who you want to kill is saving a child. So, yeah.
Yeah, that and you could tell he's like, oh, my God. You're like... Because, you know, he lived with her for so long, mm-hmm. and she, you know, she did his laundry and did all, you know, like, she was totally just there mm-hmm. for him and did everything. So now he's kind of like, oh.
And right. One thing that I really like about this season is, I wasn't sure what I thought of Jesse, but the fact that he has made Michael's mother a much more important character because of their interaction, the fact that he was living there, and so... That house became something more than just the place where Michael goes to build a bomb when he can't do it at home or whatever.
Yeah, I think Jesse has definitely proven to be a really good addition to this season. I really like him. I like what he adds to the team. He adds a different layer. What is that guy? I was going to call him Uriel.
Vaughn.
Vaughn, yeah.
Yes.
That's where I know him from.
Right. Vaughn is, I think of all the bad guys they've had, because every season they have, like, some bad guy that Michael interacts with that represents, like, the company or whatever who burned him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vaughn has been the best bad guy they've ever had, mainly because you never believe anything he's saying, yet he comes off as charming, but you're pretty sure he'd kill you if he needed to.
Yeah.
And he is intimidating. There's something about him that's intimidating and a little bit scary.
Like that time we went to Fiona.
Yeah, that was so creepy.
I'll be honest, like, he reminds me of, like, Ving Rhames in Pulp Fiction. Like this kind of guy who will just talk to you casually, but if you do something wrong, he will destroy you.
Yes, and that's pretty much what I feel like. And the fact that Michael thought he could play him... You know, he's like, he tells him one thing and does his other thing.
Yeah.
And he's thinking that the guy trusts him, but obviously he doesn't.
Well, given the ending.
Right. And so I like the fact that this guy was like, oh, sure, Michael, I'll let you have your time to do whatever. And he totally doesn't.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
Yeah.
So, Ronnie, you got any comments about the finale?
You know, I just really enjoyed the interaction with Jesse because... Since over the season, you know, like Jesse, I mean, he's everybody's befriended him. So even though he's really angry, you know, he can't, you know, he's conflicted as well. So I love the scene between him and Michael when, you know, he finally comes into the restaurant. He goes, I've been out sitting in my car the last 10 minutes with you in my crosshairs.
Yeah, that was good.
That was so cool.
Yeah, and that's of course, the danger of setting up a meet with someone who wants to kill you. You give them the opportunity to do so.
Do we have... votes on who picked up the briefcase.
Oh, yeah, because Robert Patrick gets killed in the car crash.
Did he actually get killed?
Eyes were all dead.
Okay.
And so it looked like a random guy. I'm assuming that it's Vaughn who has
either Vaughn or maybe Jesse.
But Jesse did. No, it was some random guy. It wasn't. Yeah. It definitely wasn't Jesse. It was a guy in a suit. You know, so it was one of those guys. So I'm assuming that guy works for Vaughn.
Yeah.
But I have to say, though, Michael got lucky with the whole not being captured and taken to be tortured. That would have really sucked. Because I was like, didn't he get captured at the finale of last season?
Yeah. No, not tortured. Others too, yeah.
Yeah. This time he's now on the pavement bleeding out. Yeah. That'll be fun.
After having been shot. Yeah, so good move.
Yeah.
And he was bleeding a lot from that shot, too.
Yeah, like, that was not just like a flesh wound. That's...
No, that was like you hit an artery, you're gone.
Well, hopefully, I seriously doubt he's gone.
Well, I mean, he can't be gone because then the show would be over, but right. Yeah. You know what I mean.
There's one point when they were in the car, like, with his voiceover, he was talking about the blood, and it just gushed at that moment. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it did. It was like, I mean, when it gushes like that, it's like you've hit an artery.
All right, the last show we have to talk about is Eureka!
Eureka!
It was off last season because of the holiday, so this was also mid-season finale. That's because they're making room for all the new shows all coming back, I suppose. So.
I guess.
It just makes me sad.
I know, because Eureka is my comfort blanket. Like, it just makes me happy whenever I watch it.
I was terrified that this episode was going to erase the universe that we've been in.
I was afraid of that too, yeah.
I thought we were going to end up back in the original, and then everybody was going to have their memories missing or something, and I was like, oh, that's going to suck!
That's what I thought at first, but then when they jumped back to the time when they were already there, I'm like, okay, you can't change anything now, because they're already messing with the timeline.
Right. Right.
So I was okay with that, but like there were a few moments where I was like, are they actually going to leave Allison dead?
I didn't think they were going to leave her dead.
I
there are a couple characters that if they kill them, I'm like, oh, they might leave them dead. But Allison, I was like, nah, they're not going to leave her dead.
Well, I would have thought that, but then they killed Stark. So
I thought about that, but Allison is more important character than Stark. Stark was the guy that was keeping Allison and Carter apart.
That's true, yeah.
So
still took 2 more years for them to finally get together, but whatever.
But that was Stark's job, was to keep them apart, and so losing him wasn't as big a deal, but losing Allison is losing the leading lady.
Yeah, okay, so, that's true.
But
I have to admit, I feel almost a little bit, like, that was a little bit cheap. It's like, why have her, you know, die and have to do the time thing again, you know what I mean? And so...
Well, it actually was kind of cool, because it really showed... First of all, this show is usually light and funny, this got to be a little bit dark, especially seeing how upset Carter was and everything. I thought that was good.
Yeah, that was.
And I have to say, though, one of my favorite moments is when he's driving, he's like, I trust myself.
I don't trust myself! He's crashing. But
that was pretty good.
I have to give it up to James Callis, though, because especially for the moment when after they've jumped back and Carter tells him that Allison died from the shockwave from the bridge device.
Right.
And the look on his face was so good.
Yeah, because he totally liked Allison, too.
Yeah.
And he felt guilty because it wasn't his device, but he was using it.
But he was using it. And, well, I mean, it all started from his idea because he originally...
Created
the bridge device, so yeah, it is all his fault.
Right.
Okay.
What'd you say?
And then I have another question about time travel, because I don't do good with a lot of time travel, so maybe that's my problem.
Okay.
Now are we actually on two timelines, because both Carter and James Callis' character, now there are different ones, right, than the other?
No,
because they were able to stay incognito pretty much through the whole thing.
They didn't change anything.
They didn't do anything.
The only thing
he came back, because you know how Carter he changed his uniform.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's to let us know that now everything is right. It's fine, because they basically when they use the bridge when they said that if they use it properly they will literally jump back into themselves at the time that they left.
Yeah, which they did.
Right. So everything is fine. There's not two timelines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Whatever alternate timeline they were creating by being there has now been erased.
Right.
Oh, okay. So, and that's why they ended up changing it into the other, you know, what they were wearing.
Right.
Right.
Jeez. Okay.
It's like, why can't it be simple, like Back to the Future?
Well, actually, it was a little like Back to the Future because they kept seeing themselves and had to dodge themselves. So I was actually thinking Back to the Future.
It was a little Back to the Future, but when I'm talking more about like how Marty is disappearing because his parents are getting together, like that whole thing.
Yeah, that was very
the science of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the very simple science of it.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, and then the Joe and what is his name?
Joe and Zane.
Zane. That was really interesting.
That was, I really liked that scene. Like, just the way, like, he grabbed her and kissed her, and he was like, why did that not feel like a first kiss? I was like, wow.
That was pretty good. And I'm not sure what he thinks is going on right now.
I think Zane is smart enough to suspect time travel in alternate universes.
Right.
But I think at the same time, he knows it's so outlandish, he doesn't want to accuse anybody of it.
Yeah.
That's my take on Zane. And then poor Zoe. Well, you know what? The hell with her.
Wow. Well, Zoe, I don't have any sympathy for in that I don't want her to end up with Zane anyway.
Yeah, that was a really bad pairing to begin with.
Well, they did it for, I think they did it to screw with the fans and shock value.
Well, yeah.
Which worked, because I totally don't want them together. So, and I had actually forgot that she's semi-dating him. Mm-hmm. And the look on his face when he's hugging her, he's like, I want to be with Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was only dating Zoe.
Zoe for a little bit. But
he was only doing it to mess with Carter.
Yeah.
He said that.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, they hadn't been dating that long, but I guess they've been doing a lot of, like, online chatting or whatever. But, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not interested in Zoe. Mm-hmm. Not really.
Yeah.
And the sooner he tells Zoe that, the better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Zoe's going to take it hard no matter what because it's Zoe.
Well, it's also her first real kind of boy. Like, she had a boyfriend before, but he was, like, a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So this is her first man boyfriend.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's not going to go well.
Well, my one real disappointment is the crossover relationship between Fargo and Claudia from Warehouse 13.
Why is that a disappointment?
Because it's not happening now. Because Claudia got together with her guy from Warehouse 13.
She got back together with that guy?
Yeah, because it turned out that, well, she kind of got back together with him because he's actually a federal witness, and they moved him to that town to keep him like undercover, but then he got involved with all their stuff, so they had to move him again. And then she found out at the end that he's actually like an Uber nerd. And so now she's completely in love with him. So there's no more, like, her and Fargo isn't happening now, which really makes me sad.
Oh. I only saw half of it. I saw the half where she was on Eureka, mm-hmm. and I thought that was cool, because I was like, Fargo needs some loving.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Oh, and well.
I thought they were a good pair, and now it's not going to happen, so that makes me sad.
All right. That about wraps it up. Anybody have any last comments, statements?
I'm looking forward to True Blood tonight.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it's not the finale, is it?
Yes,
the finale?
It is.
Ah, all right. I'm looking forward to True Blood as well.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. You can say nothing until.
I don't think there's anything until new stuff I want to see starts happening.
All right, Ronnie.
And I'm good too.
Okay. All right.
We've exhausted our opinions for this week. I'm all out of thoughts for myself.
We're over an hour of opinions in. So.
Okay, so if you guys out there have any thoughts, comments that you want to add, remember you can send your feedback to tvcampfire@gmail.com, or now you can tweet us at tvcampfire. All right, talk to you guys next week, or talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.